So we are going to continue in the committee program. You all have the copy of the program before you, and it was also circulated to all members sometimes back. Can we then go straight to the first item? Honorable Minister.
Chair, thank you. I've looked at the program, as you correctly say, was correctly pointed out, was circulated some time ago. In that letter was circulated, you asked for inputs on the program. And I sent you a long letter dated the 1st of October 2014 with several proposals. It doesn't appear that that letter was taken into consideration in formulating this program. I wonder if you could explain A, why that letter was not has not been tabled before the committee, and B, how it was taken into consideration, or if indeed it was taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Meunier. Any other matter? The letter has been received, Honorable Meunier. It will also be a subject of our discussion. I think as we go through the program, the issues that you raised in the letter, you may raise now, then, so that the committee should discuss that. I did send the letter.
Just for the purposes of discussion, that letter should be formally tabled and circulated before the committee, so that members have an opportunity to scrutinize my letter and to consider the arguments adduced in that letter.
The letter will be circulated. You'll also be given an opportunity to make your input. That is what we are doing now on the program. Can we then go to the first item? This we are supposed to do today. I wonder as to whether the budgetary review and recommendation preparations, I wonder as to whether members feel that this is necessary. I take it you've undergone several workshops on the DRRR, and my understanding is that what is going to be presented here is a step-by-step implementation, something that you can get on your own and go through it on your own. But if members feel that they need a step-by-step presentation, it's up to you.
Chair, I'm sure the members will indicate whether they've taken part, they've used the opportunity to attend workshops. The 2 days workshops for all members, and we attended the workshop for chairs and weeks, and we attended. I think members should indicate if really there is a need to go through this. Otherwise, not support the proposal that we have gone through these workshops.
Any opposing view from members, Honorable Meunier?
Chair, I would just be concerned. This is an item on the agenda. I would just want to know whether, presumably, preparations by the presenters, and I'd like to know. I wouldn't want this committee, after asking our committee searches to prepare a presentation, to then suddenly decide that no presentation is necessary. My view would be that the presentation has been prepared and that presentation has been included on the program, that we should go ahead with the presentation. What I would suggest perhaps is that we deal with the Auditor General first, which is the primary item on
that's thank you very much, Honorable Renia. That is exactly what you are talking about. That because we brought the program here, that is the kind of input we want, because this program is supposed to be adopted by the committee. If we agree that the researcher will give that step-by-step presentation to members to go through it, since members have gone through several workshops, then we can then go the route of the presentation of the Auditor General, which takes part, that takes addressing our today's program. Then we can then go on to the next program for tomorrow, which are about annual reports. Any other, we did not receive any other input on this one. It's a straightforward presentation. Then, Honorable Mene.
Chair, I'm a little confused. Submitted a very detailed counter proposal to the draft program, which included very specific proposals about how to deal with the annual report. And put simply, it is my view that the committee cannot deal substantively with the annual report in one month.
Honorable Mayor, I think I've given direction on that matter. We are coming to that matter. Next. Can we then go to tomorrow's program is straightforward about the annual report, and the 16th of October, I take it is the same as the 15th. These are presentations. The 22nd. The 25th the 24th, 26th, this has also been adopted in the last 10 about the workshop. November, November, 18 November. 19 November, and which goes with 25. Right, if the problem is agreed to, we will attend to the input that Honorable Mania has this committee. I think the input is not opposed to what is contained in this program. It's a matter of how to do it. Am I correct, Honorable Mania?
We cannot adopt this program until the committee has considered the inputs contained in my letter dated 1st of October 2014. And the reason for that is if my proposal in that letter were adopted, this draft program would have to be fundamentally changed. Could I propose the following? That we do not adopt the program at this meeting. B, that my letter of the 1st of October 2014 formally table as members of this committee, and then that we debate the program in some future. The key issue, Chair, contained in this document is that, in my view, the committee needs to deal with the department's annual report.
May I give you that issue? I don't want you to confuse things. In this meeting, when I stipulated the program, was in order for you to make inputs that we will discuss in this meeting. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity to present those amendments. So you cannot, even before presenting amendments, propose that the program should not be adopted on the basis of your letter. I think that will be the correct procedure to follow. Honorable Wick.
No, Chair. I did want to say on a point of order. I accept what Honorable Maine is saying, but adopting the report and what is raising are two different things. Because my view is what is raising about issues of the department, those things are part of the annual report of the department. So it's there.
I was thinking that Honorable Mayor, because now we are dealing with amendments to the program, I was thinking that you must present this amendment. Like in a red letter, it's nothing else but the amendments to the program. You see? So I was thinking that he must present that, and the committee must talk to that matter. And I still insist that the letter is not opposed to the presentation of the annual report. It's just a matter of how to present it. Can we give him an opportunity to do that? Honorable Mayor?
So it's clear to me that the whip of the committee has not had access and read my letter. Can I ask, before I present my proposals, that my letter be tabled?
Honorable Mayor, you are out of order. We're not tabling any letter. We are talking to the program and amending the program. I asked you to make input so that we should discuss them here. I'm giving you an opportunity to do that.
Chair, can we then be clear on what basis do you refuse to table and circulate the letter?
No, the letter is circulated. Do have the letter.
Oh, yeah, Honorable Bogus.
Yes, Chair. Actually, I have read the letter from Honorable Lily. And I've also read the progress meeting. I think we have correctly said, Chair, that the program was circulated for comments. And when I read the program in the letter, it appeared some of the things that are in the letter are covered by the program itself. But part of the things that are in the letter just for class. So I think that is why maybe he is unable to amend the program as it is, because he's, some of the things he does being mischievous and superfluous. And I think that we need to move, Chair, to adopt the program. It will appear concerns by Honorable Mayor are covered by his document, which is the program. So I need to adopt the program.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable Isao.
Thank you. I think the key issue is that if they allocated for the discussion for interrogation of the annual report of the Defense Department, before I even comment on that, we don't have the annual report of the Military Veterans Department, and also they allocated for its interrogation. It's not in the report. The one thing I want to comment on is the day, it's from 10 o'clock and it says possibly the whole day, that is now October the 22nd. The problem we had in the past 2 years in discussing the annual report, it has been limited to about 2.5, maximum 3 hours that you'd have in discussion. many times people are only afforded the opportunity to ask two rounds of questions, and all unanswered questions are the department to respond to. The whole exercise of interrogation is by follow-up questions, and that's not been allowed in this committee, which is abnormal. The police department is doing much better work in interrogating each and every program in a department. And I think this is terribly lacking in this committee, that we do not afford the members the opportunity to engage with the department with follow-up questions so that we can get to the bottom and not wait for some answers that are sent subsequently a few months later to us. And I think this is the serious question that on the main is raising is how much time do we dedicate for each, for the 8 programs for which we military veterans? How do we interrogate it? Do we just finish it in 2 hours and feel the outstanding and just let the department respond at some later? And this is the lacking part because it's a very serious review of the last year's activities and performance of the department, and we have to hold them accountable even though inputs are very relevant to the VRR process, which is totally ineffective in the system.
Honorable Charles, that is why I thought we have circulated the letter to honorable members. That is why I said to honorable media, if you want to go through it, you must just take us through your amendment. But you haven't been paid. You've been moving from pillar to post. And I must also tell you that it is not true that members are prevented from making contribution in this committee. There is no policy that this committee has taken that you cannot be, can make contribution. We do our meetings in time. If we are doing our meeting, the only time that we have is from 10 to 1. Obviously, we can't finish everything at that time. That's why we say that even those which we do not finish, they must come to make sure, we must make sure that they come to completion by the department reading their standing report, which you also acknowledge, honorable sir. But your problem is that reports maybe become late, you want them while they're still hot. Right. Then is honorable Lenny is what honorable Isao representing, what you want to present to this country, that we need more time to deal with matters in the problem.
John, I'd be very happy if you'd give me an opportunity to take you through the essence of my letter and the objection to the program, and I'll do it as quickly and efficiently as possible. My colleague, the honorable Isao, has covered part of my objection, but not my complete objection. So allow me an opportunity simply to take members through
Before you talk, honorable members, we have not reached the stage where we object to any program. We are at the stage where we're calling for amendment. Honorable Yami?
No, sorry for arriving at the lot of other work. You see, honorable Isao, if I start with you, we should sometimes have appreciation of how we do our work. You see that not shift responsibility to the chair, but to appreciate what happens in parliament and the changes that are taking place. You see? Because I'm quite here where I'm sitting, that the majority of committees and the extent of the ones that they go do it even on the venue that is called parliament. So it does affect how much time we spend in these different committees. And it's not a challenge that will be shifted to one particular committee. So it's a broader problem that all of us as members of parliament must address, that how do we make it one? The expenditure of room of care and spending more time is continuously increasing as we go, because even some of the comments that you have as a part. But for me, the most important thing, you see, it's also to acknowledge the fact that the researchers and their capacity is one thing that I was just telling Scott now, that I have gone through the research work done by the Committee of Defense, and they were appointed for years to be able to say to you, these are the difficulties, these are the issues, in a very frank way of being able to guide in how you go through the results. So there isn't much that you could say that the researchers of Parliament don't have capacity to be able to assist committees to do their work and for them to be able to arrive to particular. So for me, really in the way I tend to contextualize, it's a challenge. It's a challenge also that people themselves. It's not to be the things that have been provided. But if you have read the report provided on the analysis, that was the summary of an analysis Department of Defense Manual report. Got quite the questions, humiliation of course, just quite extensively with some of the things that we've come across within Diamond Corp. And it's what I've been doing since last night, just to be able to prepare myself to come to meeting. So it's also the preparedness of members and how they deal with the substantial issues that are protected. Yeah. But you see, even if you're reading the letter provided as an argument as providing effort into dealing with issues of programming provided by Honorable Minister, it's not even closer to that. It doesn't deal with that issue. It's not about programming. It's only a different one. And for me, it's a very unfair judgment. Even if, I mean, when you read this, it doesn't deal with saying what is on the program and what is it that should be supposed to be done to improve the program itself. This is a totally different matter, you see, and it's quite astounding in how he wants to handle it. And smugly, to stream the view that this is about matters that are program. It's not right. It's not fair, because that's that. And Honorable, we've been questioning you for years that you shouldn't do this thing as smugly, his own personal attack or personal animosity towards ministers to a particular concern. You must deal with the programming as programming, and his concerns. He's separated from that. And this is not what he's doing here. He's doing totally different matter. And it's not fair, you see. That's why, unless and until he allows programming, which should be able to help into enhancing the capacity of Parliament to be dealt with, than dealing with the external matters that we're dealing with. And where I'm choosing the judgment. These are two separate matters. And maybe if we treat them in that way, maybe the chair will be in a better position to do a better direction. That's how we deal with it. Even to allow me to go into that. He's always in his continuous stance of where he wants to raise issues that are very personal for ministers. Then does this thing, invite the media, do this thing, and doesn't deal with substantial issues that are supposed to confront the committee itself and derail the committee from its own responsibilities.
Honorable Bobo, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Chair, certainly. We need to move ahead. This matter is derailing the process. Because if the, I was just reflecting that we'll allow Honorable Mene to take us through this letter. This letter does not speak about issues of program. The invitation, this is the invitation that is being made to Mr. Mene, is that if there's a problem with page 1 or page 2 amendments, we must raise those issues at this stage. But if it does not have those things, I don't think we're interested in taking through this letter. I think it's superfluous. That's what I said, so I'm requesting that maybe you rule that we move in terms of adopting the program. Thanks.
Honorable members, may I pose a question to you? You all have a copy of the letter.
Yeah.
You've gone through it.
Yeah.
Now, if there are any amendments in the letter that you agree to, you'll say so. If they, you do not agree to amendments, you'll say so. Is that
I'm not aware of the letter.
Honorable Minister, I have always been trying to say to every respect to the chair. We need to tell you on the meeting. And the moment you start saying that he has not situated the letter, you are guaranteed that he doesn't have capacity. Prepare for the meeting. You see, you don't have it. I've seen it myself. But I'm just saying that giving the chance to serve as a meeting, don't object in a manner that will make all of us to feel that you are antagonizing such a person and then you then have to start taking a fight. It's not beneficial, even for the defense people that are here.
Honorable Ishwar. The letter was written by Honorable Menia, a member of your party. Yeah. I'll tell you that you know the content of the letter, but they still give you the letter. It's unfortunate you do.
Members of the Menia
No, no, the letter is being circulated now. It's not an issue. We must get a copy of that letter. Now, we need to have progress. Do we, Honorable Meunier, in his letter, proposed some amendments. Now, Honorable Members, do we factor the amendments in the program, or do we don't factor the amendments in the program? Honorable Witt.
Sir, in the program, if you look at page 5, Wednesday, 22 October, this is what I've been trying to convey, simple English. Department of Defense briefing on the 2013-14 annual report. Now, things that are written in Honorable Maynard's letter have to do with reports, which the department is coming to table. So we cannot have two separate things. He will be reading these things when the department is there. All they have to do with reports.
Thank you. Honorable Longo, Honorable Meunier, Honorable Mari, Honorable Nisi, Honorable.
Thanks, Chief. I have read the letter and I got the letter tonight to go to the letter. But I still maintain that the issues that are covered, or the issues that Mr. Meunier has interest on, are covered by the report. That is what Ada is saying. We must just move for an adoption of this report, because those issues will be raised as we deal with the program. But as for the other things that are in the letter, I think that's personal. But if you say the minister did not come for 21 meetings and so on, I think, and we can't get in dealing with the program per se. So I want to plead with the chair and members that let's just adopt a report. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, you will follow in that order, honorable members.
Let me first register my strong objection to the way that this is being handled. But let me try and be clear. Honourable Member correctly points to the program, the draft program for Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014, where the department is going to provide a briefing on its annual report, and then claims that the program covers the objection in my letter. That just cannot be true for two reasons. First, I say in my letter that one of my fundamental objections to the program is that we cannot deal with the annual report, which contains 8 sub-programs and a 40 billion bus budget in one meeting. And then the member claims that in fact it's covered by what by the proposed meeting on the 22nd of October. That is the first point. The second point is, the program does not seem to take into account that on October the 22nd, the Minister of Finance will be making a speech on the medium-term budget policy statement, which begins at 2 o'clock. So there is no way that this committee is going to spend even one day on this report. It's going to spend 3 or 4 hours, 10 billion an hour. It is not adequate. Now, what I say in my letter is that the committee should look to the way the Portfolio Committee on Police deals with its annual report. And there are 3 fundamental differences between the way that committee deals with the report and this committee deals with the report. A, the minister is present. In terms of the Constitution, the minister is accountable and should be present.
On the point of order.
B, the National Commissioner of Police.
On the point of order. Chair, I think what we are requesting, Chair, we have a program before us. There's a program here. If anyone wants to do any issue that is in the program, Honorable Mayor must just effect those changes on the program. But they can't continue to say, a lecture on how other popular communities did things and do this and that. We want to effect changes on the program, and let's concentrate on that, Chair. Thanks.
Just hold it on. Before you come with a court of order, I want to assist you, Honorable Mayor, in line with what the Honorable Member said in terms of a media program. You have done that already. You are talking about time, which is something that was raised by your colleague, Honorable Isau. That is an amendment, I think, something that we must consider. You talk about the 22, right, which is correct, which is something we can reschedule it for the 21st. That those are the kind of inputs we want. Otherwise, honorable members will be talking the truth that you come with a lecture.
With due respect to honorable members, you know that there are many fundamental challenges to a policy decision for the organogram of the police and the organogram of the defense force and the civilian oversight over the defense force and the civilian oversight over the defense force. That's a mistake. Fundamentally, they're asking us to do a change policy. And we can't really be working. One thing that has happened about, because I'm conscious about the organogram and how it's structured. I'm fairly aware. That's why the civilian oversight. And that's where the debate is going to be. It's not about the program. Because you are asking that the Chief of Defense must come here. And that, I'm saying to you, clearly before you arrive in this committee, that debate was resolved there. Who accounts to Parliament? It's the Secretary of Defense. It's got nothing to do with the Chief of Defense. And you are doing fundamental challenges. It's got nothing to do with the program. So that's what I'm saying to you. You either say to postpone everything and it's going to the policy debate. It's a policy debate that's asking us to do.
Honorable Mayor, can we follow the route that I'm suggesting that we have started already? If there's anything to amend, like saying on 22, is it practical? You're correct. And matter of time, you're correct. We'll always need time. If we have time, we'll sleep here and deal with matters of Parliament. Now, Can you wrap up by following that route?
Chair, you seem to sound like the chief censor. Part of the reason that we get into trouble is that you're not allowing
me. I don't say kindly to that.
you're not allowing me to express myself. I said that I had three objections to the way the committee are dealing with the annual report. But let me deal then with my third objection, which seems to be of concern to you, and that is that I propose that the committee deal with, and I quote, that we amend the committee to provide for a hearing on two programs per full day of hearings for this committee dealing with the annual report. That is my proposal. We cannot, in my view, reschedule dealing with the annual report from the 22nd to the 21st, because the fundamental problem is we cannot deal with the annual report in one day. We need to allocate several days and deal with two programs per day, and if I'm correct, there are eight programs. So that is my third objection. Now, the Honourable Boy raised an argument about my second objection, and there is a debate about acknowledging. It's going to be a big debate during the defense review. But where there is no debate, Chairperson, is on the Constitution, particularly Section 92(2) of the Constitution, which says that the Cabinet is accountable collectively and individually to parties. My question is, where is the Minister? The Minister must be present during the annual report hearings. Now, that's all very awkward to raise this question, but at the end of the day, the Constitution says that the Minister is accountable. And if that's true, then the Minister must be present during the course of the annual report hearings. The Minister claims in an annual report, and this is going
to be a good
she claims that she's
I'm not censoring you. I want amendment. You must amend the program. Thank you very much. we picked up the amendment that you are creating. Honourable meeting.
Now, madam,
no, your objection is not to object.
Thanks, Chair Person. My name is Ismail Nabe. Chair, I'm afraid to go and spend the whole hour debating something that shouldn't be debated, in my view. I agree with the honourable member who said the program of the 22nd October 2014 covers the concerns of the honourable member who wrote the letter. I've read the letter, there's much more on concerns regarding the minister and the officials. And I'm of the view that maybe on this day, when the department is giving the report, then the member can be given the privilege to read in terms of questions, addressing the concerns that are in this letter. But as far as I'm concerned, I think the program is okay and covers everyone. And I therefore move the adoption of this program.
Honourable Nishi.
Thank you, Chair, for the first for coming late in the day. I wouldn't love to waste your time because he read my mind exactly. I think the honourable member moved to very fast time the committee because he's beginning to develop a program for the committee. Now here the program is clear, the consent must be addressed by the committee. We can't be addressing letters here. I've never heard that the committee meetings with department will be busy with individual letters here. I mean, we won't go anywhere. Thank you very much. I second that we adopt this.
Honourable members, I am going to call for the mover to the adoption of the amendment. Yeah, you moved before my colleague. Now I'm calling for the mover for the we need to do amendment on the matter of the 22nd. Right?
Yes.
And in terms of time, we just need to take a position that whenever time allows, we must utilize it as much as we can so that we can get more information as possible. Can we then move for the adoption of the program?
I so moved.
You move for the adoption. Second. Your second. Mother, Honorable Mother, Honorable Nisi. In objection.
Chair, please record A, my objection, and please note that I intend to immediately lodge a complaint with the Chair of Chairs and to lodge a resolution with this committee and asking the committee to vote on whether the minister should appear before this committee.
No,
this
is
it.
The member must really show some fight.
No, it's not a fight.
You see, I don't understand which constitution I'm reading.
Mm.
Well, the constitution
of the
constitution. The constitution I'm reading 192, TB, says, provide Parliament with full and regular reports concerning matters under their control. That's what cabinet members are supposed to do. And it assists with accountability.
Honourable members, I'm not going to allow you to argue this. I rooted an objection. You object, and your objection has been rooted.
Yeah, but what is the basis of the objection?
No. Objection is the objection because there is a problem. This honourable member said this objection, and this objection will be noted.
Yeah.
Can we continue and allow the Auditor General to give the presentation? Over to you, Auditor General.
Okay, Auditor General.
We should know to be on my name for 41 people in the
land. That's good to know, sir.
I'm sorry. many of them do alert. Many alone have the checklist. Don't do your own thing.
We are taking a presentation from the Auditor General. Honorable members, can we have the Auditor give the Auditor General an opportunity to continue?
Thank you, Chair.
Is the mic?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee member. The presentation we're going to make about the audit outcome for the defense portfolio. We had two presentations, the long presentation and the short presentation. We are going to present from the short presentation, which is important, the one that appears on the screen. And the short presentation is for more information, something more attractive than the other presentation, but more. And the member can just refer to that one for more clarity. I would just like to refer to page 3 of the long presentation. That is the presentation. Which talk about the that is paragraph 1-3, the overview. I think it's there are some issues of the presentation. Just to give you an idea which entities make up the portfolio of the defense portfolio. It is six entities, it is the Department of Defense, the Department of Defense of Veterans, the entity AMCO, Capital Control Board, the South African Defense Force Fund, and the Special Defense Account. This report was prepared on the information that was available at the end of September for those audits that were completed at that time. Two of audits, that is the Department of Military Defense, Military Defense, and also the SANDF, that is the South African National Defense Fund, were not completed at that time. And therefore, they are not included in the slides that appear in this presentation. And that is why I refer to four entities, which is the Department, AMISCO, Special Defense Fund, and also the Capital Control Board. So this is the information relating to the four. On this, at this point in time, I will hand over to my colleague, Juan and Kun, to take us through the presentation. But then before that, let me just quickly introduce our chief, which is the first guest. My name is Musa Songwa. I'm the Deputy Secretary of Protocol for the audit of the portfolio of defense that includes all these entities there. On my left, I have Warren Kun, who will be helping with the presentation. He's the manager on the Department of Defense. And on my right, I have Lawrence Antilan, who is the business executive who will be taking over my responsibility from the beginning of this. Rotation has taken place in the top of our medicine in our office. So I'm still with the obsession of but I'm taking over other office. So the one I'm taking over the office.
No, thank you. The committee needs to know such dynamics. Thank you. Over to you.
Well, thank you. I'll ask one of the two people to take this.
Thank you. The fellow deputation promise here. I'm not sure if he's going to this. For the Auditor General of South Africa, as a constitutional mandate and as the Supreme Court Institution of South Africa, they exist to strengthen our country's democracy by aiding oversight, accountability and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. As we said, indicates, the purpose of the presentation is to provide members of Parliament with the necessary information or guidance on the audit outcomes for the portfolio to enable the portfolio committee to effectively execute the oversight function. This slide indicates the outcomes for the current year. As mentioned, if you look at the financial statements, the two in the blue is the NAD fund and Department of Mitigators. The one qualification, the purple block, is Department of Defense, and then the other three are Arms Corps, ETA, and Cost Control Board. If you go down to the middle one at the bottom, the one outstanding is Department of Military Veterans. The fund doesn't do performance sports and neither does FDA. The FDA portion is in the DOD. Okay, the one finding is the pink block is Cost Control Board, and then two greens are Arms Corps and DOD. And then for the compliance on the top right, the two are attending as we see, and the other four are finding. The next slide talks to our assessment of the assurance levels we've obtained from the different levels. It was in the portfolio. I don't know if there's any specific one she would like me to go through on this.
Continue.
Okay, for the senior management, the two green ones are PCA control.
What were you asking?
If there's any specific one you want me to go through, or if I can...
All of them. I've been
told all of them.
You can go through all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, senior management, the two greens are SDA, Castle Control Board, and DOD and Arms Corps are the two yellow ones. Accounting officer, the two greens are DOD, SDA, the yellow is Arms Corps, the red is Castle Control Board, and the red here is based on a number of findings in the Castle Control Board report. Executive authority, two greens are Cost Control Board and SDA, the yellow is Arms Corps, and the red is DOD, the defense. Internal audits, the green is Arms Corps, the yellow is SDA, the red is DOD, and the brown is Cost Control Board. And then for the audit committee, the green is Arms Corps, and the yellow are the rest of it. This slide deals with the assessment of the controls within the various entities. I think I'll just highlight the red ones. And the action plan and the performance report. That's what the red one is, Cost Control Board. And then for UN monitor compliance under compliance legislation, those two red ones are Fossil Control Board and Arms Corps. So this slide deals with our findings on our focus areas. If you look on the other document, we've got the briefing document on page 13, the details starts for this one. Okay, so like I said, from page 13, the detail of the slides begins. I'll just highlight the colors on these cross view. And the supply chain.
That's all the
official verification to detail. Put us into some practice. There's this whole bureaucracy and these pictures don't talk about itself. And you know you must understand some of us are old, some of us are new. And you really talk to that thing, the things are very nice pictures you've got.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't tell us anything. Assistant chief.
On the screen we've got page 13, which just has the colors that we you understand, the green and red and the gray as you want to
be just hold it. Just hold on.
Yes, thank you. The confusion I have, Chief, is around you're initially saying the green represents you call the different development. But later on I look at the document, the green representation says good, considering you know, one gets the, you know, that's, and that's where the, you know, if it's green represents good, pink represents something, just explain properly because I'm not following.
Yeah, each slide, the there will be a difference, I'll explain it in each slide. On this page, yeah, the green will indicate if there was, or if the red will indicate if there's no improvement or a regression from the prior year. The gray block indicates that it's not applicable to that specific entity, and green would be an improvement or nothing to report.
What is the name again?
Warren.
Warren. I thought you look, you are on key focus areas. Tell members what are these areas, right? And you go on to explain what each color represents in these areas. Sure.
So, Chief, allow me. I'm going to go on the details on the next page, each individual entity and the specific area on the previous slide and with the graphs.
One thing is, you can't just come there. We see key focus area. What key focus area? You briefly, you say key focus area. What are these areas? And then we go on. I think members will understand better. But we don't. It's not about details. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about how you invent it.
Thanks, Mr. Chip. On our audit report, we report on financial status, we report on the performance report, and then we report on compliance legislation. And within that we have six focus areas, which is what I'll go through now in detail, which explain these graphs in more detail as you go through. That's what goes to back here. The first one I'm going to speak to is the predetermined objectives or the performance reports. And then per entity we've got the findings we had, if they hit a root cause and any recommendations from. For Department of Defense, we do not have any material findings. However, we have had an additional massive paragraph on our audit report to indicate that we had material misstatements were identified but were corrected by the department before for the statement. For the rest, there was only on Cost of Control Board. The published annual performance report includes information against the that we reported that they were we got an issue with the usefulness of the performance report of Cost of Control Board, specifically Program 2 and Program 4. The root cause for this was we said that the county authority has not implemented internal policies and procedures for performance information management and reporting to show compliance with the applicable laws, regulations and guidelines. The action plan should be prior audit findings not adequately monitored, which resulted in the reoccurrence of material non-compliance related to the strategic plan. And our recommendation is that policies and procedures should be implemented for this. An action plan should be developed and implemented. And then we highlight the quality control should be strengthened to create control environment that supports useful and reliable reporting on the performance of the portfolio, develop and monitor implementation of action plans, and implement effective HR management to ensure that adequate and sufficiently skilled resources are in place and that performance is monitored. The next one is supply chain management. Under defense, we didn't have any material findings. For Arms Corps, there was an issue with the triple B procurement policy, as it was not developed within the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, determined by national legislation. This was due to a change in who the act applied to around 7 December 2012, and they had not changed their policy at that stage. So there was a finding on that, and the policies have since been updated. So the recommendation we had was policies and procedures should be aligned with applicable legislation, and the Department of Defense has indicated that it would be lazy with OMSCO to resolve this matter.
Chairman, can I summarize on this one before we go to the details so that maybe you can help us?
We expect you to do that other than to provide training. We want him to present, we don't want him to be trained in here. So where you think he's making, just come in and ask him. Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to explain this area of using this picture, which makes it much more clearer, you know, which areas we're talking about. The first area, that one, we're talking about supply chain management. The next area, we're talking about predetermined objectives. The next area, we talk about HR management. That area is IT controls. And this other area is a material error on the financials that were submitted to us for audit. And then the last area is the financial health. These are six areas that you are reporting on. And if you look at the panel, that relates to each of the six entities that we have audited. For example, if you look at this is the Department of Defense. The green means that everything was fine. So the Department of Defense was okay as far as supply chain management, as far as determined objectives, as far as HR management, as far as IT controls, and as far as financial health was concerned. The problem was with the material error in the financial statements that were supposed to us on the 21st of May for auditing. In other words, there were material adjustments to the financials that were submitted to us, which had to go through in the financials so that differentials could be in the end fairly presented. That was the department. So it has only one area that was of concern as far as these focus areas are concerned. Next we look at AMSCO, that is number two. With AMSCO, in this area of supply chain management, there was a problem. That's why this is red. There were some non-compliance with the legislation relating mainly to supply chain management. As far as the fulfillment objectives, the HR management and the IT controls and the financial health, AMSCO was okay. Thirdly, we have the Cancer Control Board, which had problems in the supply chain management and predetermined objectives areas. It was okay as far as HR management was concerned, the IT controls, the material errors in the financials submitted to us. It was okay. All the four areas were okay. There were only problems in these two areas for the Cancer Control Board. The LANDF fund, you see it is grey, which means that this is not applicable for the Cancer Control Board, and also the audit was not completed at that time. The LANDF fund, so. And then the last one is the Special Defense Account, SDA, which had a problem as far as the supply, as far as the first area of supply chain management is concerned, and also as far as the material errors in the financial committee to us, it was okay in the other areas of IT controls and financial health, and the areas of predetermined objectives and HR management are not applicable because SDA is part of the Department of Defense, it's just special account, so it does not have a separate management. So that's why we have not applicable. I just wanted to explain the six areas. I don't know if the question on this six areas.
Honorable Nyan.
What does the crane mean?
The crane means,
does it mean that it is a serious danger or what is the
No, it's not applicable. That's why it's said that the focus area was not
a good one.
So
that was a good
one. So this is the summary of findings in this area, and what we present now is just the detail of each one. Why we say, for example, that there was a problem on supply chain management, why we say that there was a problem in each of these other areas. I don't know if the chair wants us to go to detail, we will not know.
No, that I don't think details. He's given reasons as to why.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is what this committee will need, and that should complete the presentation.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. So that I don't think it's going to take long.
Yes. No. Okay. What I'm going to ask now through each one goes the supply chain management, the predetermined objectives, the HR management, IT controls. The material errors in the financial statement and the financial health for each of these six entities to see what was the issue.
Fine, I think Warren had already started what he said. You must continue from where you left.
Thank you, Chair. We were busy with the supply chain management earlier. The SBA and AMSCO findings on are really the same finding, because AMSCO does the procurement on behalf of SDA and some of the procurement on behalf of DOD. So the finding AMSCO was also finding the SDA, which is why this finding is in the brief note. We already touched on the predetermined objectives here, the red one over here. So I'll move on to the human resources one. We just had one finding under AMSCO in the still green year that the CEO position has been vacant since 2009. So that's one finding that we've raised there. For IT controls, we have no findings to report. and financial health, even no financial reports. This one referring to the material of the statements, it's going to take a bit longer. For defense, there were material statements identified that were corrected, but the supporting records for intangible capital assets could not be provided, or sufficient supporting records for intangible assets could not be provided, resulting in the qualification for the department. For Arms Corps, there were material mistakes identified by the auditors, but were subsequently corrected by them. The same with SDA, one at the bottom, material misstatements of non-current and current assets and disclosure items identified by the auditors were subsequently corrected, and that resulted in an unqualified opinion. And the fund, the financial statements were not identified. Material statements identified by the auditor in the submitted financial statements were subsequently corrected, resulting in the financial statements not being submitted for auditing within 2 months after the end of financial year, as required by Section 14(2) of the Public Audit Act. To provide further detail on the misstatements, for DOD, the following material misstatements were included: intangible capital assets were not supported by sufficient appropriate audit evidence, and a restatement was made to rectify the prior misstatement, but this statement could not be substantiated with appropriate audit evidence. Arms Corps and FDA submitted financial statements for audit that contain material misstatements with regard to irregular expenditure, which arose from that supply chain management one I brought your attention. Prepayment and disclosure of the Arms Corps Medical Benefit Fund. These audits received an unqualified audit opinion only because all the misstatements identified during the audit were corrected. The following controls should be strengthened to create a control environment: review and monitor compliance with applicable laws and regulations, implement controls over daily and monthly processing and assignment transactions, and implement effective HR management to ensure that adequate and sufficiently skilled resources are in place and that performance is monitored. Okay, if I go back to the presentation. This slide will indicate the most common root causes in the portfolio. Key officials lack appropriate competencies. A root cause at one of the auditees, and this is green because it's improved from the prior. This one relates to DOD. Second one, slow funds by management, as we read from the prior, is a root cause at 3 auditees, which was Arms Corps, SDA, and Castle Control Board. Instability or vacancies in key positions. This is unchanged from last year. This is called the control board, and I think that's within the internal audits. The next slide deals with the commitments made by the minister. The red block is not implemented. There are none there. The blue block are any new ones in the country. There's nothing there. The yellow one will indicate what is in progress, and the green one will indicate what has been implemented in the past year. So if the chair would like me to go through this. Okay, the ones in progress, number one, fill the vacant posts of the DOD internal audit by the end of the 2015 financial year. To provide a schedule of future meeting dates with the ADSA. Improve governance, and number four, set clear expectations and responsibilities and establish a culture of respect and accountability. Ones that have been addressed or implemented are, number one, to ensure all IT audit findings are addressed, and two, to bring the other categories of assets to the same level as the 3 categories disclosed for 2011-12, that does not include intangibles, and number three, to improve on key internal controls through monitoring and regular meetings. The next slide deals with the oversight model. this will deal with the committee will be doing as well. At the moment, we are in this topic over here relating to accountability. We start off with policy development, which then identifies the impact of the portfolio should be addressing, which then leads to the strategic plan, which is also a performance plan, which then leads into the specification of performance indicators, and then setting of targets and allocating resources from the department and the portfolio. Then we go through the implementation and in-year reporting. And in the reporting, which is the annual report, has come. So, monitoring and taking effective action will take place once a year from the department side and assess and adjust the strategic plan by forward.
Would be more interested in the audit outcomes, and but overview of audit outcomes. So you may not labor too much on that kind of model. So.
We've covered everything on the audit outcomes on this presentation. I don't know if we should be going through the briefing notes.
No, if you have covered, that is our business of the day. Don't feel guilty that you finished in time. Are there any...
The rest of the details will be only outcomes in the other long document. But we have covered in summary in the presentation now. And that's the committee that has to go along to the next.
No, I think honorable members will go through. They just want to give us a framework. You can read. And then we read the details within that context. I think that is how we should approach it, honorable members.
Correct.
Do we have any other points of clarity that we want to ask the auditor general? Honorable Kamede, Honorable Benga Yufor, Honorable Sam.
Chair, I do have a strong feeling that the presentation should also via through the key expectations from the committee, which is my short presentation. Consideration when dealing with the performance monitoring, because that is a tool that is going to assist us. If we could strengthen that with a little bit of putting some meat and explanation, was add a tool for us for oversight.
Thank you. You've given over to Honorable Isaac.
I'm ready. Chair, I've gone. A couple of questions. I now refer to the long report with the detail. I refer to page 14 of the report. I wonder if you could provide us with further particulars in respect of your findings on predetermined objectives relating to the force employment program and the air defense program. That's question one. Question two relates to page 27 of the long report, and that is relates to fruitless and wasteful expenditure under the SDA. Now the same matter is covered on page 274 of your report contained in the annual report. And my only question there is whether the total amount of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which in this case is 212 million rand and 212.7 million rand, whether that relates to the project or the contract which was cancelled and reinstated. So I just want to be clear. My only question is whether the total amount of free person wasteful expenditure, which in this case is 21274, 212.7 million rand, relates to the contract that was cancelled and reinstated. Then I would like to turn to page 28 of the long presentation, which refers to investigations. A number of investigations have been conducted by the Auditor General. One of those investigations is an investigation into Cabinet's top gun, Lindiwe Sisulu, and her flights on Gulfstream jets. Now my question here is, has the Auditor General received all the relevant documents from the Department of Defense in order to proceed and with that audit? The matter has been outstanding, as you know, for nearly 6 months. The last question, which is contained on page 210 of the annual report of the Department of Defense, relates to 106 million rands worth of irregular expenditure on an item called sourcing of aircraft. What exactly, what contract, what company, what exactly does that refer to precisely? What exactly, what is the company, and then why was that expenditure declared to be irregular, and why was it subsequently condoned? But what I'm particularly interested in there, in respect of what that are we talking about? What's the company name? What kind of aircraft, etc., etc. Those are my four questions, Chair. I need then wish to conclude by thanking Musa for his service over the last many years. He's really he's met with the committee frequently, he's briefed the committee frequently, and we do appreciate the service that he's provided over the years. Thank you. And we wish him good luck in the post.
Thank you very much. Honourable
Issa. Chair, I'm just referring to pages 37 and 28 of the long briefing report by the AG. And the matter is not raised by my colleague, the others that are there, just for the AG to give us a good understanding of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure and the illegal expenditure.
Auditor General, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I just give you one question that was asked by Honourable Mr. Mayor on the investigation on the flight undertaken by the Minister, because I was directly involved in this matter. We did have discussions with the Secretary of Defense on this matter, and the Secretary did promise to give us the information which we're going to forward to the committee. This is sort of outside member of the committee, and that information is still open. But I'll keep informing up on the go. I want to go to the discussion. That information is the central executive chief needs to give us. He said it's not a very process in the to us, but we are still waiting for the information. I'll ask Warren to give the other questions.
Before the mics go on strike, you realize that the mic is occupying your face.
Okay, for the first question, the findings on page 14 of the long document, I do not have those findings with me.
Make the files available.
Yes.
And then I think if I go to page 27, specifically the first line that deals with DOD, this is on page 211 of the annual report, but it is also mentioned in the accounting officer's report on page 144, paragraph 58. And that deals with the majority of that figure.
Okay,
thank you.
Hello, Paul.
No, no, I was asking the question, you see. The other officer is doing that at the area of work, and it has seen that the new official doesn't have his structure. In a man is consistent. So maybe change a little rule, even on that issue of the flight, that how to deal with this man, because it's going to leave us not being able to get hold of him anymore. And it doesn't seem that no one got his hands on this particular man, even otherwise. What do we do from here? And what is the commitment? You see, my one question is that you see, he has had a meeting with us in a lot of different countries. It's not many that he stops at anywhere. How do we show each of them under one roof and they give us the same answer or that they have a conversation about this particular man? But many roads are making it, as long as it's not done properly. But I must say, with the evening of this particular official, it's going to be hard in terms of the problem. And it's quite clear that he has not yet given everything over to the other one. He keeps on wanting to prepare more, to keep on trying to get into other questions which he's not quite sure about. And that can bring a lot of hiccup in how we go forward.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Minister.
Chair, I'm quite happy with the presentation. My question is quite complex, and I just wanted to be absolutely sure, because a lot rides on it. So I don't want there to be any doubt. Either the global amount of $212 million refers to a specific contract, and that contract was cancelled and then reinstated, or it doesn't. And I just want to be absolutely clear. If the Auditor General is more comfortable to clarify that after looking into it, I'm also entirely happy with it. As long as it's done fast, which means 24 hours.
On that one, I'll
too much.
Honorable Chair, on that one, I would rather we try to confirm, you know, the whether this is the total amount relates to the projects presented by the honourable member, and then we come back on the committee. If you don't have the information in the office, then we have to ask the department, you know, to confirm the total amount. If this is okay,
honourable
member.
Chair, I'm quite satisfied with that. I suspect that it does relate, that it does relate to the contract, but I do think that it's in everybody's interest that we just simply clarify it, and I'm quite happy that you provide me with that information, but then give me the undertaking to do it in a reasonable period, which is not more than 2 days.
To provide that information, and I would like to assure an honourable member with that because I'm leaving does not mean that I'm just going to forget about everything. I've got my sister here with me, and he'll be carrying on, you know, providing the information that you have promised to provide.
Honourable Boy.
You see, I don't hear what you're saying. But the deal with the issue of perceptions does get created, and to how you commit yourself in front of the department of us, of how you want to give a full account of what is in the book itself. Well, mainly it is not substituting the information he's using. He has picked it up, and the question is now, you say he pleaded this time, if you don't have that support, you're not certain, you're going to leave us. You see, I know the next stage is, Honourable Minister is going to raise questions in Parliament. And we would have been also while running around trying to get exactly what is it, and the Auditor General has not done his writing at this particular moment. It won't leave us with a with no clarity of how to resolve the matter itself. As I've seen, the first matter that deals with the chest fire and everything has been on for some time, and you keep on postponing and promising. It doesn't resolve the matter. It leaves us hanging on this matter. How do you want to resolve these matters so that we can have a conclusion on them? I'm not addressing you. I'm just for the whole portfolio committee. Give us a sense that, as the auditor general, how do you resolve these matters? Because they're very outstanding.
Yes. Chair, can I give an input just to
Honourable Minister.
Chair, the Honourable Boy is right. This matter has been outstanding for a long time, and that's, if there's a bit of levity, it seems that the Honourable Minister travelled so many times on aircraft, it takes 3 years for the party to count the number of flights. But that's aside. I'm entirely satisfied. The Auditor General has informed the committee that he has requested the documents from the Department of Defense. Those documents have not been forthcoming, and so it's incumbent on this committee to raise the question with the Secretary of Defense on the 21st of October and to find out from him why the documents have not been forthcoming. And I think that I'm entirely satisfied that my second point is possible. It's now incumbent on this committee to find out from the Secretary of Defense why he has, let me put this delicately, resisted handing over the documents to the Auditor General.
Okay. Can we leave it at that, wrap it that way? It's not like you do not have any information. It's like that there are no follow-ups made to that information. And if you submit information, even before we hold another meeting with the department, it will also be to the advantage of the committee. Can we leave it at that? Thank you very much. Well, I think we'll come to the end of our meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Okay.
There's the Auditor General still, there's one question outstanding, and that relates to the 160 million rand of irregular expenditure which was condoned in this financial year. My question is specifically, what does that matter refer to?
Yeah, I'll cover that for you.
For this information as well, may I request that you provide the answer later on?
What would be a reasonable time for you? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days? Not beyond.
I think all fairness, Chair, if we are giving to next week, because we are here to other issues, so
thank you very much. Honorable Sam.
Sir, a quick question on the irregular expenditure, because there's something in what intangible asset as well. We need some further clarity on that. So that's a very broad issue. What is it called intangible asset?
Do you have a response? Go on.
Thank you, Marcos, Mr. Chair. With regards to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I've highlighted where the detail for 303.347 million of the 303.564 million has been included in Department of Defense on page 144 in the Funding Officer's Report, paragraph 58. He explains what that contract for from the DOD is. That's not what the Honorable Manir was talking about. Then with regards to irregular expenditure with the Department of Defense, in our audit report on page 146, paragraph 12, we've in more detail on that, on the major portion of that amount as well. One billion of the 1.29 billion. That is included in the notes on page 209, note number 25. 25.2 will detail the current year's. The 210 on notes 25.2 relates to the non-compliance on Encore side. So Encore has a non-compliance, but it will deal with the Department of Defense expenditure. So the expenditure comes up there because of the expenditure.
You're done, alright.
One last one on the FDA's irregular expenditures, also highlighted in our audit report on page 247, paragraph 12. And this highlights the procurement and contract management policies as well there. All financial years worth of procurement. So would that be the triple E policy that has been read earlier? All countries that were entered into with that policy that was in compliance with the B triple E Act.
The issue is that we understand the policy, the compliance. The consequence is you have hearing expenditure. But there is a specific contract that were implicated.
We'd
like to know who is the other
beneficiaries
of
the contract.
Honorable,
you hear me?
So, why Isha is correct is this statement about AMSCO MPP is not new. You see, it's an old thing. I mean, we know about it. And at some stage, you said that's correct, that not regressed. Now, you see, if you not specify what is the problem, we seem not to be understanding what you are talking about. And you are leaving us in darkness. But the policy challenge, if you debate the DTI or other people, I mean, we know that there's been some changes taking place in recent years. What are you talking about? This is the time when the Auditor General now fine-tunes policies around this matter. Not purifying yourself, leave us to be the one that just keep on running around the whole year trying to find an explanation or what do you mean. That AMS cost policies when it does. So you know about this thing, it's an old thing. It's not new.
Honorable Minister?
Chair, I presume that you're about to close the meeting. Could I make just one point and one suggestion? One point, obviously, we take note of and recall our concern about the Department of Military Veterans, and I see that that's in the program, and we will deal with it. But that is really a major concern. The department you might be interested to hear didn't even manage to get their adverts correct this weekend. They published adverts for positions, misstated the salary, and had to re-advertise and admit the error in various newspapers. So I'm quite sure the Auditor General will be more irregular expenditure. But I just want us to note that concern, but I do appreciate that the matter is on program. The other is just to make a suggestion, Chair, and we don't need to debate this. It might be helpful for future meetings if you offer the committee the opportunity, particularly in dealing with the Auditor General, to give you or provide you with detailed questions which can be forwarded to the Auditor General before the Auditor General presents. There are some members who may want to take advantage of that facility. There may be members who don't. But it might assist the Auditor General if he has a note from the committee secretary saying that Mr. Mania, for example, has a specific interest in the following matters, and if you'd please be prepared. It's just simply a suggestion that you might want to take up in your management committee. It could do no harm, and it might have some advantage.
Thank you very much, General Robin. You want to say something?
No, I was going to say that let's exercise it. It was exercised before, but it continues working. Mm-hmm. Also, it's very preemptive, you see. Mm-hmm. It does need to be able to... So what we always want to have is for one individual member taking it for, rather than the collective, so that when you deal with the department, you deal with it in the basis of the collective. It doesn't become something for one person. It becomes very helpful.
But what are you saying?
What I'm saying is that many of them bring it to you and through you then process it.
No, it's fine. But I think that you agree with each other. They are all the best. Thank you very much. And the meeting is adjourned.
Je vais faire la question.